Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we join together on this beautiful day, beautiful in terms of the weather, beautiful in terms of the occasion, we gather with men and women, boys and girls throughout the world to celebrate this glorious and joy-filled occasion, the human birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking flesh from the Virgin Mary, and we will review an aspect of its significance for all people today in your word. But we thank you that you've brought us together to celebrate today with Jesus Christ taking pride of place in the middle of our thinking at the beginning of this day. We recognise by the quietness of the building and by the relative few in number that we are, that there are many who are travelling this day. There are many who are away from our midst today. And we give thanks for the opportunity to celebrate this day in company with many, and the opportunity to travel and be with people whom we love, who are significant in our human lives. And even some of us will travel distances today to celebrate with those whom we don't see regularly. And for that we give you thanks. But as we think of travel, we thank you, of course, that you bridge the gap from the comfort of eternity in the person of your Son to travel, as it were, into the world you've made, to spend the time to come among us. And by prayer, of course, at any time, we can travel to you and adore and worship and praise your holy name. And so as we come this morning to give adoration and praise to your name, we acknowledge, Lord, that we don't, as it were, travel by faith in prayer to you as much as we can, and as much as we perhaps should. And so we ask now that you would bless our time of gathered worship today. Keep those we mentioned in our prayer now safe as they journey today. And may we be often in your thoughts today and every day as we live our lives here below in your world that you've made. We ask these prayers in and through the wonderful and worthy name of your dear Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing the second carol, and all the rest of the order of service has not changed. The first one did change, but the others remain as you see them. Hymn 188, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Now we're all playing.
us from God's word.
The reading this morning has come from Ezekiel, and to be found on page 903 of your pew Bibles if you wish to follow it through. Chapter 34, verses 22 to 31. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and will be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of the wild beasts, so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forest in safety. I will bless them in the place surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord, when I break the bars of the yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them in a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land of bear and the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, and with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. Let us now turn to the New Testament from Luke, chapter 2, reading from verse 8. To 14, found on page 1071 of your pew Bible. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for you all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God at the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his word and understanding. Amen."
It's the Luke reading that I'll be speaking from after we sing another of these wonderful carols, or one of these songs that focuses our attention on the human reality which fulfills the divine promise and purpose of God. 181, "See there in the manger low." 181. And yes, I think let's stand to sing. Thank you. The title of the message today, which is from Luke 2, so please look at these verses 10 to 12. It's your Christmas morning invitation. Your Christmas morning invitation. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. So if you're looking at those verses 10 to 12 from Luke 2, what's this Christmas morning invitation that I have for you this morning? Well, I present it as God's postie. Really. It's an invitation which the angels gave the shepherds, as recorded here, and which the wise men accepted also back at the first Christmas time. The invitation? Come, follow the wise men and the shepherds. Find the king and worship him. And then go tell it on a mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on a mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the invitation. I bring it to you in song. That's the second time I've done the singing. Those who were here last night would have heard a different song. But really, that's the invitation. Come and find the King, worship him, and then go serve him. Simple as that. Which many of you have said, well, we've already accepted that invitation a long time ago, Stephen. Even maybe before you were born. And if that's the case, that's wonderful. So let's offer that invitation to others this Christmas time. Find the King, worship him, and go serve him for the rest of our lives. Now, last year, for those who can remember, we looked at the wise men and the gifts that they brought to the newborn king from Matthew 2. Today, briefly, let's look at these verses 10 to 12, the angelic invitation to the shepherds of all people. And there are three reactions that we find in verses 10 to 12. Three verses, but three reactions. The first reaction that I believe that anyone hearing about this message should have is be awed, not giggling. Verse 10. You know, Christmas time is a time of merriment, it's a time of cheer, it's a time of joy. And in our culture, I understand that. For some people, of course, as I heard briefly this morning, it's a time of, don't tell me about it, I don't want to know. Because of people's pain, people's loneliness, people's isolation. But generally, people smile when you mention Christmas, don't they? It's wonderful. Well, the angels were terrified when they saw the shepherds. The shepherds were terrified when they saw the angels. And so what do we have at the beginning of verse 10? Do not be afraid, it begins. Yes, the message that the Lord has for the world in the gospel, the good news, is just that, good news. Yes, like the cosmic physician that he is, he tells us the truth about our helpless and hopeless spiritual condition because of our sin. He tells us, of course, a lot more. He tells us about the greatness and grandeur and glory of his person, because that's the reality of it. Now, when we first hear the news about the truth of ourselves and our state, it can be as confronting and as dazzling, and it ought to be, the equivalent effect as seeing the sight of which the shepherds saw of that crowd of dazzling angels in the night sky. It isn't something to be taken lightly, but seriously. It should have the kind of terrifying effect upon people. And there's something wrong in today's world when the gospel is presented in such a tizzed up way that people say, oh yeah, what's for dinner? It should have that kind of awe-striking effect on people. But this morning, let's not stop at the beginning of verse 10. There's so much more, isn't there? in verse 10 itself. Yes, God commands first our reverent awe. But look at the rest of the verse, verse 10. Do not be afraid, say the angels. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Yes, Christmas morning is one major ingredient of God's medication prescription for our sin need. Every human being's sin need. And what is that medication? Well, of course, it is none other than Jesus himself. Hallelujah. There is a lovely chorus which says, Christ is the answer for my every need. And that is absolutely the correct thing to say. Of course, I pray that we don't gloss over and flip past those wonderful words in verse 10. I bring you great good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Yes, our reverent wonder at the sight of the angels and God's willingness to intervene in his world turns to joy as we realize why God is intervening in his world. And that is described in verse 11. And that takes us from our first reaction, awe, to our second reaction, which is joyfulness that David's prince, Messiah, is born. You see verse 11 there. The angel gives them information about the town, Bethlehem, in which David's prince, Messiah, is born. Yes, these often overlooked people. The shepherds are given specific information concerning Messiah's birth in Bethlehem. Shepherds are chosen to be told this message first. It would be like in Narracourt, people working out at the meatworks are told first. They too could be filled with joy because Jesus, the Saviour, the Prince, the Lord, who is God's anointed King, is born. He's a predicted saviour that Stuart read about from Ezekiel 34, the chosen shepherd, David's successor, who will come to save Israel and ingather the Gentiles. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. So the first reaction is awe. The second reaction, joy. And lastly, the third reaction we should have to this invitation, go and tell. Go and see and then tell. Verse 12, the shepherds receive an invitation, don't they? And specific instructions on how to find the king. And then the implication is, which they follow through on, to go and tell others of their discovery. And we read in verses 13 and 14 that they are spectators of the heavenly concert of praise, which the angels and those who join them from the heavenly host perform, if I can put it that way, or sing out. Wonderful. So, there it is, the Christmas morning invitation, which is as old as the gospel has been revealed. And so I guess there are the three take-home messages today as we head out into the Christmas Day 2013 in a moment. The obvious thing to take home with us is, well, have we found the King and bowed down and worshipped him? And as I said earlier, for the answer for most of us is, praise God by his grace, yes, he has found me and I've responded in worship and adoration. That's wonderful. But it may be that at such times of the year, there are people who are caught up in the wonder and joy of the Christmas spirit and season, and not sure perhaps about the historic details of Christmas. Love the spirit, the songs, the atmosphere, and it is a wonderful time. And even people who aren't Christian followers of Jesus love the idea of giving gifts and peace on earth and so on and so on. I even heard David Bowie singing about it last night. I'm not sure if he was or is a Christian, but you know, singing about peace on earth, wouldn't it be wonderful? I'm not a David Bowie music fan, so. But, you know, you've got to pay the ethical admiration for the whole thing. And so the best thing for people in that condition, and you may come across people like that and know of people in your family in that condition, well, encourage them, say, look, you know, if you're not sure about all this Jesus stuff, grab a Bible and maybe in a modern translation and read a gospel or two. Start maybe with the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Luke and just read it through for yourself. And ask and say, you that they might even pray a prayer like, God, if you're really real, make it clear to me as I read from this book that claims to be your revelation or your story. And for those of us who've been following the Lord for a long, long time, and then let us renew the enthusiasm that no doubt these shepherds had, because they saw this heavenly concert, they were witnesses of it, and they went home, it says, and told others what they had seen and heard. No wonder what a remarkable, astounding experience they had. Go tell it on the mountain. Well, tell it wherever. Over the hills and everywhere that Jesus Christ has been born. The invitation, come with the wise men and the shepherds. Come see the King, worship Him, and go serve Him the rest of your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you on this Christmas morning to give you thanks for the great privilege of having the truths of eternity revealed to us in a way that we can read about. We know we need your help to understand them and apply them to our hearts. And that's the task of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord Holy Spirit, I just thank you for giving spiritual sight to my spiritually blind eyes those many years ago when you pointed me to the glory of the Lord Jesus. In my case, back in 1976, and for many gathered here for worship, we can point back to a specific date or a particular era in our lives when we were children maybe or teenagers, when loving parents, Sunday school teachers, ministers, or however it was that you drew us to yourself, pointed us to the cross, pointed us to the Christ of the cross, and alerted us to the fact that life of a spiritual kind can only be found in your Son, the Lord Jesus. And now I pray for myself and for others today that you may help us this Christmas time and on into 2014, that we might be able to help others, fellow travellers in the world, to be wise, truly wise in a biblical sense, and come and find the King and bow down and worship Him, and then go tell others and serve Him for the rest of their lives. Lord our God, we live in such a rich country, not only geographically and culturally in every sense of the word, materially, but Father, we do pray for those who feel isolated and impoverished, poor today, because they lack family, they lack caring others around them, they feel anxious and isolated, and perhaps cheated and let down today. We pray for those who face illness that is overwhelming them with worry and concern at this time. There are many facing unemployment or uncertainties of all kinds. Our hearts go out to them today. Father, of course, as we look further afield to nations, we hear the headlines and we are aware of so much of the world that is in turmoil. And so it's right for us to pray for those facing difficulties. We pray regularly for places like Syria and Egypt and Pakistan, I should say, Nigeria, where your church is under tremendous pressure. And today we come back to the fledgling nation of South Sudan, as we know it, realizing that there are many Christians caught up in now ethnic strife and tension again in that place. And we realize that such strife is often manipulated by powerful forces that would seek to exploit economic riches in those places and care nothing for the people. But we know your church exists there. And we pray at this Christmas time that the hope of the gospel would shine through the people's lives and be a great source of encouragement and comfort, where nothing else can bring light and joy and peace there. And so we pray that whatever can be done will be done to bring strength and confidence to your people there. We pray, Lord, for one another, that you would make us a blessing around the meal table and beyond today. Keep us safe once again in travel and in the many other prayers that we will offer individually and as households today and in the coming days. We ask all things to the glory and honour of Christ our Saviour, giving you thanks for bringing us through this year of 2013. All these things then we pray in our Lord's name. Amen. We're going to end this morning by singing the carol that we've been featuring as the doxology this month, Joy to the World, number 163. Yes.